LiveWire Night 1 of the Republican National Convention. By Rebecca Mansour on July 15, 2024. The first night of the Republican National Convention begins in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, with an emphasis on unity in the aftermath of Saturday's assassination attempt against former President Donald Trump. This afternoon, Trump announced Ohio Sen. J.D. Vance as his running mate. The 39-year-old senator from the Rust Belt, whose best-selling memoir Hillbilly Elegy was viewed by many as a chronicle of the forgotten men and women that Trump's 2016 campaign and MAGA movement championed, is tied as the youngest Republican nominee for vice president in history with Richard Nixon, who was also a 39-year-old first-term U.S. senator when President Dwight Eisenhower picked him as his running mate in 1952. Vance has been a rising star in the populist conservative movement and has shown himself to be a passionate advocate in the Senate for the working-class Americans who have been ignored by both parties. In 2021, Breitbart editor-in-chief Alex Marlow interviewed Vance at his home in Cincinnati. "This is my 75-minute interview with Vance, one from 2021 from his historic home in Cincinnati. If you would like to get to know him, how he thinks, and what matters to him, I think you'll appreciate this." Alex Marlow, at Alex Marlow, July 15, 2024. In the roll call vote today, Republican delegates gave Trump the GOP's nomination for an historic third time, making him one of only six Americans to receive a major party's nomination more than twice. The five others are Thomas Jefferson, Grover Cleveland, William Jennings Bryan, Franklin Roosevelt, and Richard Nixon. Among tonight's scheduled speakers are Senator Ron Johnson, RY. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, RGA. Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, RNC. Representative Wesley Hunt, RTX. Representative John James, RME. Senator Katie Britt, RL. Senator Tim Scott, RSC. Governor Glenn Youngkin, RVA. Governor Kristi Noem, RSD. Representative Byron Donalds, RFL. Charlie Kirk, the Executive Director of Turning Point USA. Senator Marsha Blackburn, RTN. Sean O'Brien, the President of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. Saturday's assassination attempt has shaken an already unprecedented campaign pitting a sitting and former president against each other in a repeat of the last election. It also follows weeks of drama within the Democratic Party about replacing President Joe Biden as the nominee after his disastrous debate performance last month. And it comes after months, and years, of what Republicans have characterized as lawfare tactics waged against Trump by his political opponents, including special counsel Jack Smith's classified documents case, which was dismissed by a federal judge just this morning. In what looks unfortunately like an effort to bigfoot the RNC coverage, Biden is scheduled to do a primetime sit-down interview with NBC News' Lester Holt at 9 p.m. Eastern this evening. If it proceeds like his interview with ABC News' George Stephanopoulos, his declining poll numbers are unlikely to improve. NBC News posted a preview clip of it. In an exclusive interview with Lester Holt, President Biden said it was a mistake to use the word bullseye while discussing former President Trump, but said to focus on what Trump is doing. pic.twitter.com/toughyzqab. NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, at NBC Nightly News, July 15, 2024. Since Saturday, Biden has attempted to reorient his campaign messaging after an assassin's bullet left Trump one inch and one head turn away from death. The assassination attempt has left Democrats and their establishment media allies with no message to convey to a country exhausted by years of divisive rhetoric smearing Trump and the Americans who voted for him as deplorables, extremists, insurrectionists, racists, religious fanatics, traitors, and even terrorists. This demonizing rhetoric was ratcheted up exponentially by Biden, who centered his re-election bid on the message that Donald Trump is a Hitlerian existential threat to democracy and to the whole world, a characterization that by implication makes Trump a target for any would-be assassin incited to take out a dictator. After defiantly raising his fist in the face of death, Trump now has the ability to be something no one expected him to be, a uniter. Trump told the Washington Examiner that he rewrote his convention speech to focus on unity after the assassination attempt. "It is a chance to bring the country together," Trump said. "I was given that chance. One thing seems certain, Trump has unified the Republican Party. Breitbart's Joel Palak, reporting from Milwaukee, notes that the mood inside the convention center is jubilant, but it's somewhat subdued among the anti-Trump protesters outside. Follow Breitbart News for live updates below, all time specific. 7:56 p.m. PT. And now we get to hear all the sputtering cope from the Democrat media complex on the increasingly irrelevant cable news channels. 7:54 p.m. PT. To close the night, Lutheran pastor James A. Rome led the crowd in a prayer. And then San Francisco lawyer and California GOP official Harmy Dillon recited a beautiful Sikh prayer. The crowd chanted, "We love Trump," as well as "Fight, fight, fight." Echoing Trump's defiant words on Saturday after the assassin's bullet took off the top of his ear. Then the chair called a recess for the convention until tomorrow. 7:45 p.m. PT. Finally, Sean O'Brien, the president of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, takes the stage. This is definitely the new Trump Republican Party, where union leaders get the primetime slot. "I refuse to keep doing the same things my predecessors did," he said. "Today, the Teamsters are here to say we are not beholden to anyone in any party. We will work with a bipartisan coalition ready to create something real for the American worker." He said he is honored to be the first president in the Teamsters Union's history to address the Republican convention. He says the left called him a traitor for speaking here, and the anti-union globalist elements on the GOP tried to keep him from speaking. He says President Trump had the backbone to invite the Teamsters when no other politician would. He touts the fact that Trump is willing to listen to every voice and work with the labor movement. He said no matter what you think of Trump, you have to acknowledge that in light of what happened to him on Saturday, he was proven to be one tough SOB. At the end of the day, the Teamsters don't care if you have a D, R, or I after your name. We want to know one thing: what are you doing to help American workers? He talked about how he reached out to politicians to stand with the Teamsters and the Railroad and United Auto Workers unions when they fought for their rights. He touts the courage of Josh Hawley, J.D. Vance, and others in the GOP who truly care about American workers. He called out the outrageous and anti-working class lie that unions are bad for the economy. This is a full-throated pro-union populist speech. "I never thought we would ever see a speaker at the RNC call out the globalist crony capitalist cabal that is the Chamber of Commerce, but O'Brien goes there, and it's a beautiful thing to see. Never forget, American workers own this nation. We're not renters. We're not squatters. We need trade policies to put America first. It needs to be easier for companies to stay in America," he says. He calls out policies that leave American cities abandoned and the economic terrorism unleashed by globalist policies that put workers last. He said we need a long-term investment in the American worker. Well, the Teamster from Boston with the Southie accent just brought down the house with that speech. That was one for the history books. 7:24 p.m. PT. The next speaker is Linda Fornos, an American who is an immigrant from Nicaragua and who voted for Biden in 2020 but is supporting Trump now. "To my fellow Latinos, it's time to wake up and smell the champurrado," she says. 7:16 p.m. PT. The next speaker is slut-walk feminist activist, pro-abortion advocate, and self-avowed atheist Amber Rose, who recently came out as a Trump supporter and launched her own crypto meme coin. This is an interesting choice of speaker for the RNC, and has faced some criticism from the party's base, considering the decision to remove almost all references to the pro-life movement from the party's platform. But her presence at the RNC shows what unifying a country of people with diverse opinions really means. She addresses the crowd as a mother and stresses that the best chance to give our children a better life is Trump. She says, "The truth is that the media has lied to us about Donald Trump. I know this because for a long time I believed those lies, so I am here to set the record straight." She explained that her father was the first person she met who supported Trump. To try to prove her father wrong about Trump, she started to research Trump and met his supporters, and that's how she learned the truth. "My message to you comes from a humble place. The left told me to hate Trump. When you cut through the lies, you learn the truth. America was better when Trump was president." She gets a strong cheer from the audience. Who says the GOP doesn't have a big tent with room for everyone? 7:14 p.m. PT. Next up, Michigan small business owner Benjamin Joseph explains that Trump understands what small business owners deal with and that his tax cut benefited them. 7:07 p.m. PT. The next speaker is Mark Claus from Western Michigan, who describes himself as regular guy. He lives on a fixed income and struggles to survive in Biden's economy. He says we were doing great under Trump, but we're not anymore. We're not living in the same country that we grew up in. He says we need to get Trump to be number 47. 7:06 p.m. PT. Lee Greenwood introduces Trump and sings Proud to be an American as the bandaged Trump comes into the convention center to massive applause. His eldest son, Don Jr., looks to be holding back tears as he sees his father, who so recently survived an assassin's bullet, enter. "You can't take this man down," Greenwood shouts out. Trump is not a man known for showing emotions, but he seems genuinely moved by this welcome. CNN's Chris Wallace called Trump's entrance the most electric moment I've ever seen at a convention. Trump, with his ear bandaged, walking into the RNC as Lee Greenwood sings God Bless the USA. pic.twitter.com/lxb5l at 6qt. Julio Roses, at Julio_Roses11, July 16, 2024. 6:58 p.m. PT. J.D. Vance is in the house, and now we see former President Trump sporting a white bandage where the assassin's bullet took off the top of his right ear. 6:48 p.m. PT. Next up is Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn, a long-standing Trump supporter in the Senate who will go down in history as the senator who stumped a Supreme Court nominee with the question, "What is a woman?" Blackburn chaired the Republican Platform Committee, which she said is dedicated to the forgotten men and women. She explains the how Trump's economic policies helped Americans and how Bidenomics hurt them. She calls out the Democrats' targeting of small business owners. 6:44 p.m. PT. Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk talks about the economic difficulties faced by Gen Z who feel that the American dream of owning a home and being able to afford a family is out of reach. Under Biden, young people own nothing and are miserable, he says. He says that young men are more conservative than they've been in 50 years because they realize that the left's policies have left them worse off than past generations. This November, we're going to choose success, he says. 6:30 p.m. PT. Vanessa Fora, whose Peruvian family legally immigrated to America, talks about her pride in becoming a United States citizen when she was 18. She talks about how she came to realize that the Republican Party represented her values, not the Democrats. She talks about her firm belief in the family and in the rights of all human life, born and unborn. She talks about the difficulties moms in America are facing in this inflationary economy. "We're no longer living, we're surviving. I feel more and more like I'm back in Latin America," she says. She encourages her fellow Latino Americans to vote for Trump if they too believe in faith, family, and financial stability. 6:31 p.m. PT. Next up is San Francisco venture capitalist and former Yammer CEO David Sachs. He opens by identifying himself as a legal immigrant who worked hard to achieve the American dream. He talks about the havoc caused by Democrat policies on his home city of San Francisco. He calls out Biden's destructive and futile policies in the new forever war in Ukraine, following years of aggressive NATO expansion, which have only weakened our country and brought us to the brink of World War III. He jokes that Biden's incoherent Middle East policies have united Americans on both sides of the Gaza war debate who are now chanting, "Fuck Joe Biden." 6:19 p.m. PT. Next up is Florida Representative Byron Donalds, a rising Republican star in Congress and favorite about the MAGA crowd. He talks about how his mother, who was an educator, fought to get him into a good school. "Mom, I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you." He talks about how his mother and grandmother worked to make sure he could build a successful future based on a good education. He also thanks the good teachers of America who pour your hearts and souls into educating America's children. He calls out the Democrats' refusal to embrace school choice. He says, "Donald Trump believes that every parent deserves school choice, and every American child deserves a chance." He calls out the massive inflation created by Biden's economy, particularly Biden's falsely and farcically named Inflation Reduction Act. 6:24 p.m. PT. Next up is Robert Bobby Bartels, a proud union member who says he was a Democrat his whole life and came to expect empty promises from Democrats. In a wonderful New York accent, Bartels recounts the famous story about how Donald Trump finished the ice skating rink in New York City when the city's politicians couldn't get it done. He mentions with pride that Trump worked with union labor to do it, and he jokes that they worked longer hours than Joe Biden. He says the empty promises of the Democrats are why this union Democrat, along with many of my fellow union members, will be voting for Donald Trump this November, so that we can rebuild the country that my union has helped build over the years. 6:12 p.m. PT. Strangely, few of the speakers have effectively mentioned Saturday's assassination attempt. San Scott's great line about the American lion who got back up on his feet and he roared is the standout line of the night so far. 6:03 p.m. PT. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem takes the stage. She too was touted as a potential Trump running mate. But she faced significant backlash after she revealed in her recent memoir that she euthanized her 14-month-old puppy by shooting him in the head. Leadership has consequences. It matters who is in the White House, she says, adding that the difference between Trump and Biden's presidencies is that Trump honored the Constitution and let her do her job as governor. She touts the fact that South Dakota was the only state in the country to stay open entirely during the pandemic. 5:58 p.m. PT. The Wall Street Journal reports that the richest man in the world, Elon Musk, is committing $45 million a month to a new pro-Trump super PAC. The PAC's other backers reportedly include Palantir Technologies co-founder Joe Lonsdale and the Winklevoss twins. 5:54 p.m. PT. Next up is Goya Foods CEO Bob Anagno. This Hispanic business leader of a wildly popular food brand was targeted by a failed doc-led boycott of his company in 2020 because he had the temerity to praise Donald Trump's leadership. In response, Anagno made the Goya Employee of the Month because she increased the company's sales with her boycott. When she boycotted us, our sales actually increased 1,000%. So we gave her an honorary, we never were able to hand it to her. But she got Employee of the Month for bringing attention to Goya in our adobo, he told a radio host in December 2020. 4 years ago, I dared to say that we were blessed by Donald Trump, he tells the crowd, explaining the failed boycott effort. He talks about the prosperity his immigrant father sought when he started his grocery store in New York and built it into the largest Hispanic-owned food company in the United States. He touts the values of America's Latino community and says the Biden administration disrespects these values of family and hard work. He calls out the Biden open border, which victimizes Latino children trafficked across our border. 5:41 p.m. PT. Next up is Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, who some GOP establishment voices favored for Trump's VP pick. He thanks God for protecting Trump. He talks about the economic challenges facing Virginians due to the silent thief of inflation unleashed by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. 5:32 p.m. PT. According to sources, former President Trump will appear at the RNC tonight with his new running mate Ohio Sen. J.D. Vance. 5:30 p.m. PT. South Carolina's Senator Tim Scott tells the crowd, if you didn't believe in miracles before Saturday, you better believe in them now, in reference to the assassination attempt. Our God still saves, he still delivers, and he still sets free, Scott says. On Saturday, the devil came to Pennsylvania with a rifle, but an American lion got back up on his feet and he roared. He then addresses the economic problems facing Americans. He also got nods of agreement when he mentions the pain of Gold Star families when Joe Biden forgets that their children died on his watch, in reference to the Gold Star families of the 13 service members who died in the last days of America's war in Afghanistan, who Biden seemingly forgot when he claimed during last month's debate that no Americans died in war on his watch. He touts his work with Trump on getting the Trump tax cuts passed. 5:19 p.m. PT. Alabama Senator Katie Britt speaks next with the same dramatic cadence she exhibited during her State of the Union response. The theme of tonight's speeches is the economy. 5:17 p.m. PT. Sarah Workman, a single mother, gives a short and heartfelt speech. She talks about how her husband fell victim to the drug epidemic, which has left her raising her son on her own and working two jobs to make ends meet. She gets huge applause when she says that there is hope for the country. We need God in our hearts, and Donald Trump back in the White House. She says that Trump invited her to speak because he wanted others like her to know that he hears us, he sees us, and we are forgotten no more. 5:11 p.m. PT. Next, fellow West Point graduate Representative John James of Michigan takes the stage. The brave man gives a shout-out to the Detroit Lions here in Wisconsin, which earns him some good-natured boos from the Badger State crowd. James recounts his family history with his dad's small business in Detroit. Like Hunt, James was an Apache pilot who served in Iraq. He says he has something in common with Trump: the bad guys shot at us both, and they missed. James is lit going after the Democrats' economic failures and Trump's economic accomplishes. He says, black people were sold on hope. Now our streets are rife with crime, our kids can't read, and illegals are getting better help from Democrats in 4 days than we've gotten in 400 years. In play on Joe Biden's infamous comment to Charlemagne in 2020, James quips, I heard the other day, if you don't vote for Donald Trump you ain't black. 4:50 p.m. PT. Next up is Representative Wesley Hunt of Texas, who, like Michigan's Representative John James, who is also speaking tonight, is a West Point graduate and freshman congressman. I'm a military guy. I flew Apaches in Iraq, he says, explaining that he knows how to complete a mission. But Biden and Harris have failed their mission for American people due to inflation. He says, we the people can fix this Democrat disaster when we re-elect Donald John Trump as president. He speaks of his heritage as the great-great-grandson of a slave and a West Point graduate. 4:56 p.m. PT. Next up, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson takes the stage, who says, I am the first black LD governor of North Carolina, and I intend to be the first black governor of North Carolina in November. He gives his background, explaining how he lost 2 manufacturing jobs in North Carolina due to NAFTA, which he reminds people that Joe Biden voted for. As governor, I will not forget where I came from. He hails Trump's record of protecting manufacturing jobs and fighting for American workers. This is a strong speech from a conservative star we will no doubt be seeing a lot of in the future. 4:47 p.m. PT. MAGA favorite rep. Marjorie MTG Taylor Greene takes the stage and heralds Corey Comprator, the firefighter and Trump supporter who died at the rally on Saturday while protecting his wife and children. She says we will honor O'Corey's memory by building the country he wanted. She then throws down some red meat for the base, calling out the Democrats for celebrating Transgender Awareness Day on Easter Sunday and for having an economy, calls out Democrats' economy as of, by, and for illegal aliens. 4:27 p.m. PT. Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson reminds the delegates that the Republican Party was started in the Badger State. Then he takes apart the Democratic Party's policies. Those forgotten Americans are forgotten no more. Republicans are the party of opportunity, liberty, and prosperity for all. We've repaired the damage caused by Democrats before. We'll do it again. 4:10 p.m. PT. The Catholic Archbishop of Milwaukee Jerome Lisztetsky opened the primetime coverage with a benediction. The first speaker will be Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Whatley, followed by Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson and Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene.